Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 25, Text 9. Vidyotamana Vajubhi. Or are you looking at a different verse? Is that the right verse? Okay, then you just need to have a little more energy into it, okay? Stanantaha Stanayatnubhi Tivrayar Marudganayar Nunna Vabrashur Jala Sarkaraha Vidyotamana Vidyudbhi Stananta Stanayatnubhi Tivrayar Marudganayar Nunna Vabrashur Jala Sarkaraha Vidyotamana Vidyubhi Stananta Stanayitnubhi Tivrayar Marudganayar Nunna Vavrishur Jala Sarkaraha Vidyotamana Vidyubhi Stananta Stanayitnubhi Tivrayar Marudganayar Nunna Vavrishur Jala Sarkaraha Vidyotamana Vidyudbhi Stananta Stanayitnubhi Tivrayar Marudganayar Nunna Jala Sarkaraha Vidyotamana Vidyudbhi Stananta Stananityubhi Tivrayar Marudganayar Nunna Parvishur Jala Sarkaraha. Ladies, go ahead. Vidyotamana Vidyudbhi Stananityubhi Tivrayar Marudganayar Nunna Parvishur Jala Sarkaraha. Ladies, Vidyotamana Vidyudbhi Stananta Stanayitnubhi Tivrayar Marudganayar Nunna Vavrishur Jala Sarkaraha Vidyotamana Vidyudbhi Stananta Stanayitnubhi Tivrayar Marudganayar Nunna Vavrishur Jala Sarkaraha Vidyotamana Being illuminated Vidyudbhi By bolts of lightning Stanantaha Roaring Stanayitnubhi With thunder Tivrahi Fearsome Marud Ganai by the wind gods. Nunnaha propelled. Ravishuhu they poured down. Jalasharkaraha hailstones. Propelled by the fearsome wind gods, the clouds blazed with lightning bolts and roared with thunder as they hurled down hailstones. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami explains that the word Marud Ganaihi indicates the seven great winds, such as Avaha, who presides over the region of Bhuvarloka, and Pravaha, who holds the planets in their places. Next verse. Stuna stula varshatara munshats vabresh vapikshnashaha jaloghai plavyamana pur nadrishatta natonnatam. As the clouds release torrents of rain as thick as massive columns, the earth was submerged in the flood, and high ground could no longer be distinguished from low. Atya sarati vatena pashavo jata vepanaha gopa gopyascha shitartha govindam sharanam yayu. The cows and other animals, shivering from the excessive rain and wind, and the cowherd men and ladies, pained by the cold, all approached Lord Govinda for shelter. Shira Shatam Shakayena Prachadya Sarapiditaha Pepamana Bhagavata Padamulam Upayayuhu. Trembling from the distress brought about by the severe rainfall, and trying to cover their heads and calves with their own bodies, the cows approached the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna Krishna Mahabhaga Tvannatam Gokulam Prabho Chatum arhasi devanna kupita bhakta vatsala. The cowherd men and women said, Krishna, Krishna, O most fortunate one, please deliver the cows from the wrath of Indra. O Lord, you are so affectionate to your devotees. Please save us also. Purport. At the time of Lord Krishna's birth, Gargamuni had predicted, Anena Sarva Durgani Yuyam Agyash Tirishyata. By his grace, you will easily cross beyond all difficulties. The residents of Vrindavan were confident that in such a great emergency, Lord Sri Narayan would empower Krishna to protect them. They accepted Krishna as everything, and Krishna reciprocated their love. Om Agyana Timirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Miditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bistam Stapitam Jena Svayam Rupakata Mayam Tadati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahagana Raghunatam Vitam Stam Sajivam Shadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha E Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Mori Priye Vancha Kalpitarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Oh, Indra is exhibiting his power. Enormously powerful. We're afraid in the material world if some big bully comes, some big guy with, you know, pierced skin and chains and the knife in his hand, we would be in terror. But he's just some punk compared to Indra. The little punk has a knife in his hand or a little gun. Half the time it's a toy gun, the other half it's a real gun. But Indra has a thunderbolt. Krishna says in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, among weapons I'm the thunderbolt. Ayudhanam aham vajram, is that the verse? I think so. Krishna says among weapons I'm the thunderbolt. The thunderbolt is so powerful that it knocks off the tops of mountains when Indra wants to use it that way. It's exceedingly powerful. We see, one time I was in Philadelphia and there was a big thunderstorm. And all of a sudden there was this enormous crack above our heads. Just enormous sound of cracking. Didn't know what had happened. And what had happened was that a tree had been hit by a thunderbolt. And it knocked off the top of the tree, and so much heat went through the tree that the sap heated up and expanded, and the tree literally exploded. So that's, in one sense, a small thing for a thunderbolt to do, but how terrifying, you know, you tree could come crashing down on your head. Fortunately, it didn't crack anyone. But it's such a powerful weapon, the thunderbolt. And that's what Indra has. Apart from that, he commands the clouds, including the Sambarta cloud, which is invoked at the time of destruction. It can cover the earth with an entire ocean. This cloud is so powerful. Again, we're, you know, awed by the clouds. In Joburg the other day, there was a big rainstorm, and you could see the big gray clouds moving in. And then they arrived, and this enormous torrential downpour. Very, very strong. Those were just ordinary clouds. So all the clouds are at Indra's disposal. All the clouds in the universe are at his disposal, along with the thunderbolt. Well, how much power he has, and he decided to unleash his power on Vrindavan. that these Brajbasis are so carried away by their talkative little friend, Krishna, that they've become so audacious that they're ignoring the sacrifice owed to me. And they're doing this other concocted thing for Govardhan Hill. So I'll teach them a lesson. And so he sent all these clouds and lightning and thunder. And imagine how terrifying this would be. And just like this tsunami that just was there in Japan, you know, it's, what do you do? You're like helpless. So a similar sort of effect suddenly hit Vrindavan. The clouds came, thunder, lightning, so much rain that you couldn't tell high ground from low ground. That means everything, that means practically there was no ground, otherwise you could tell. Just water everywhere. Huge display. Torrents of rain as thick as columns. The earth submerged. Huge display of power. Nature has so much power. Nature has so much power. And therefore, this is one of the threefold miseries. The Adidaivic miseries. Miseries sent by the demigods. There are miseries sent by other living beings like politicians and insects, viruses. There are miseries from our own bodies and minds. And there are miseries sent by the demigods. When there's irregularity, then the demigods make our lives miserable. Yagyad bhavati parjanya. When there's regular performance of sacrifice, then the rains are regulated, everything's normal. But when people are sinful and try to exploit the material nature, then the custodians of nature strike back. And you get seasons that are unpredictable. You get the signs of one season coming in another season. You get earthquakes, you get floods, you get droughts, you get cyclones, you get typhoons, you get tsunamis, hurricanes. You get all of these volcanic eruptions. All sorts of things that create misery for the living beings. Well, this is caused by the demigods. In the Bhagavad Gita, it said, Devan, what is that? Vodeva Dasyante Yogyapavita. No. Devan Pavyatanena. Te deva pavayantuva parasparam pavayanta shreya paramavapshita. When yajna is performed, then everything is arranged. There's cooperation. Paraspara means mutual. Mutual cooperation. That is, cooperation means mutual. Pavayanta. Shreyam param avapshita. You'll get all good fortune when you cooperate with the demigods. Therefore, people are supposed to worship the demigods to get material prosperity, material benefit. Of course, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, forget the demigods, just worship me. You don't have to water the leaves and branches, water the root of the tree, and your water will be distributed. But someone who performs no sacrifice is a thief. Ishtan pogan ibo deva dasyante yagyapavita tayar dattan pradayaibyo yo punkte stene visa. He just wants to grab the resources of material nature and run. just wants to exploit for himself and not acknowledge whose property it is. Ishavasham idam sarvam. Tena chak tena bhunjita magrita kashasvidhanam. One is entitled to take his quota, but not more. But people want to grab more and more, and therefore they get immense reactions from the material nature, or even from their own devices. There's an expression, hoist by one's own petard, means blown up by your own dynamite. So that's now in Japan, that's happening. They've created all nuclear plants to power their industries so that they can enjoy the resources of material nature. And now they're getting blown away by their own power coming back at them. So one way or another, when we try to exploit material nature without acknowledging the controller of material nature, then we suffer. So Indra thought, these Brajbasis are trying to enjoy the results of the clouds and rain, and offer, but they don't want to acknowledge the controller of the clouds and rain, me. They're neglecting me. So he became indignant. These Brajbasis are aparadhis. They're simply thieves. They're grabbing the resources of material energy and not acknowledging the controller. So he became indignant and decided to punish them all. And the Brajbasis, under such suffering so much from the cold, the wind, the rain, surrendered to Krishna. Govindam Sharana Yayu. They all took shelter of Krishna. Of course, they had complete confidence in Krishna and complete love for Krishna. So naturally they took shelter of Krishna. Even any sane person, when he's beyond help, he turns to God. Artarti jigyasu gyanicha paratarshava. A pious person, when he's in distress, artha, then he turns to God. Oh God, please help me. Oh God, please help me. He's described as pious because he surrenders. Those who are impious refuse to surrender. Namam duskrita namudha prapadyante naradhama maya pratagyana asura bhavamashutra. The demonic never take shelter of Krishna. They take shelter. Prakritim mohinim shataha. Rakshasim asurim chayava. Prakritim mohinim shataha. They take shelter of Maya. They take shelter of their own illusions, or they take shelter of some illusory source of protection. Their doctor, their government, their family members, Reiki, voodoo. They take shelter of some aspect of the material nature and try to protect themselves that way. But they refuse to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because they don't want to acknowledge even the existence of a personality of Godhead. So or they take shelter of the material energy. And the material energy, of course, what can it do to save them? Material nature is in charge of punishing them, finally killing them. Now, there's no escape by surrendering to material nature. It's like one of those movies, you know, where someone's running and running and running from some gang or some evil force, and finally someone appears to help them, and so they take shelter of him, and he turns out to be working for the guys he's running from. Like that, they're suffering from material nature's pangs, and so they take shelter of material nature. And they get slapped again. And this is going on. Because they're going to die, so they go to some hospital and the doctors torture them and take their money besides. In so many ways. Or they're in old age, so they're suffering, so they take shelter of some young woman. Especially where the Thailand, you see a lot of older men from Europe with young Thai wives or companions, or wives, I think. And it's, of course, a convenient sort of arrangement because the lady knows that she's going to inherit the guy's fortune when he leaves. And the guy is in illusion because the Thai ladies are very submissive, they're very, what's the word? Solicitous, they're very dutiful and devoted. So they make the man happy, and he's in total illusion that I've come to this beautiful tropical place, and I have this beautiful young woman who just wants to make me happy, who loves me and wants to make me happy. So I've attained the heavenly planets. They're in cloud nine, as they say. They've got money, they've got a beautiful young wife, they've got everything. But then, of course, they die. and then the wife gets the money and life goes on. Prakritim Mohinim Shrita. They've taken shelter of the illusory energy. The illusory energy is, in that case, given him a beautiful illusion and then slapped him again and sent him on to the next body where who knows what he's going to get. And this is going on. But a pious person, artartarti jigyasu gyanicha, when seeking knowledge or when curious, when in need of money, or when distressed, approaches Krishna, or the personality of Godhead. And of course, so often, because the person is only pious, but not pure in devotional service, they approach the Lord, they get some relief, and then, oh, such a relief, and then they go back to their material enjoyment. And then God recedes into the background. He's forgotten. Maybe some briefly, oh, thank God, thank God. And thanks a lot. And now we go on to with our program. But they don't surrender. Sometimes, if they're very fortunate, then when in distress, they surrender and stay surrendered. Otherwise, the surrender comes and goes. We surrender and then we forget. This is conditional life, or this is the material world. But the Brajbasis were not surrendering to Krishna merely out of immediate necessity or desperation. They loved Krishna, and they were fully dependent on Krishna. never fully dependent on Krishna. They always would spontaneously turn toward Krishna. Of course, here it said that they turned toward Krishna because they thought that Krishna has been empowered. He's a very special person. He's been empowered by Lord Narayan, so he'll protect us. This is another kind of illusion. This is called Yogamaya. There's Mahamaya, the material energy which bewilders the conditioned souls. And then there's Yogamaya, the spiritual energy, which can also bewilder the liberated souls. But the bewilderment of the conditioned souls causes continued suffering in the cycle of birth and death. And the bewilderment of the liberated souls simply enhances their opportunities to exchange transcendental loving devotional service with Krishna. Yashoda Mayi was bewildered by Yoga Maya. She was thinking that Krishna is my child. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mata Tata Pitama, I'm the mother, the father, and the grandfather of everyone. He's the source of everything. So, only by bewilderment was she thinking. Only by bewilderment was she thinking that Krishna is my child. Krishna was showed the entire universe in his mouth, and after seeing such a wonderful mystic display, Yashoda Mayi just told him, now stop that, enough of your nonsense. Don't eat earth again. That's the bewildering power of Maya. The coward boys are thinking that Krishna is our friend. They're playing with him, and sometimes they're defeating him, they're taunting him. Oh, you weakling, we've defeated you. And then Krishna, as the loser, he has to carry his friends on his shoulders. How is it possible? Those who are great devotees, they would never, they won't even step on anything connected with the Lord. To step on something it's all sacred. They're very careful where they put their feet. And the coward boys are putting their feet on the personality of Godhead's body. Because Krishna lost the game. Now, this is all by the arrangement of Yogamaya, which makes all these loving exchanges possible. Krishna appreciates devotional service rendered with awe and veneration, but he's much more appreciative of spontaneous devotional service in which the awe and veneration fall to the side and just pure love is manifest. So all of these things are seen in Vrindavan. They're all seen in Vrindavan. In Vaikuntha, this can't be witnessed. Everyone there is conscious that Narayan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in Vrindavan, they're thinking that Krishna is our child, Krishna is our friend. But he's very special. He may be empowered by Narayan because he does such wonderful things. Huh? That thinking sometimes comes. When the cowherd boys were confronted by the Aghasura, who was lying on the road, appearing with his mouth open, appearing like a great cave, the purpose was that the cowherd boys will think this is a cave and they'll want to explore and enjoy, and I'll swallow them. And the cowherd boys got it. They saw it. It looks like a cave, but I think it's actually a big serpent opening his mouth wide to swallow us. But anyway, Krishna will save us. And they went in. They were completely confident. Rakshasya titi vishvasho. This is a sign of pure devotion. That the pure devotee thinks that Krishna will protect me. Rakshasya titi vishvasho. They have full confidence that Krishna will protect me. I don't have to go to anyone else. I don't have to depend on anyone else. I just have to depend on Krishna. Well, and if Krishna doesn't want to save me, then finished. If Krishna wants to kill me, I can't be saved. And if Krishna wants to save me, I can't be killed. So it's entirely up to Krishna. So everyone, all the Brajvasis approached Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, oh Krishna, oh Krishna. Just naturally, a devotee in danger or distress automatically chants the holy name of Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. So they approached Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga. You're a very fortunate child. Tvan Natam. Everyone has a master. The dog has a master. The dog's master has a master. The dog has his master, but his master goes to work and works for some other master. Then that master goes to the stockholders meeting and he answers to his masters. Everyone has a master. Everyone has a master. Everyone has a master. The president is even beholden to those who engineered to get him elected. Everyone has some master. Or who was that? Muchukunda? It said that I go out and I conquer so many countries, I defeat so many kings, and then I come back to the palace and I fall at the feet of the queens to beg them for sense gratification. So everyone has some master. But Tvannata, they said to Krishna, your master is you yourself. You have no other master. You are your own master. Everybody would like the idea of being his own master, working for himself. You know, I don't work for a company anymore. I'm in business for myself, because everybody wants to be in business for himself. Everyone is in business for himself, even if he's working for someone else. He's paid to work for some other guy, but his real purpose is his own purpose. But ideally, one would like to be in business for himself and be independently wealthy, not punch a clock, do whatever he wants to do. But no one is independent in this material world. But Krishna is actually his own master. He's the master of everything. And he has no master. Atvannata Gokulam Prabhu. You are the master of Gokula. Gokula means that place, and it also means the cow community. Kula means community, and go means the cows. You're the master of the community of cows. So you please save them. Trata Marasi, please save these cows. It appears that the Brajvasis thought of the cows first. Either they thought of the cows first. What will happen to the cows? What will happen to the cows? Or else they thought that Krishna is especially kind to the cows, so we'll mention the cows first. What is that? Yes, go Brahmana Hitaya cha. He's the well-wisher of the cows and Brahmins. We're only Vaishyas. So please save the cows. Please save the cows. Pratamarsi Devana, from this demigod Indra. And please protect us also. Jagadhitaya Krishnaya Go Nayanamo. You're the well-wisher of the cows and the Brahmins and everyone else. So please protect us also. Kupitad, from this angry demigod, Indra. He's become angry with us. Bhakta Vatsala. You are Bhakta Vatsal. You're very affectionate to your devotees. So we're all your devotees. Please protect us. Please protect us. In this way, they surrendered to Krishna or approached Krishna to save them from the powerful display of anger shown by Lord Indra. All right, are there some questions? Any questions? Any questions? Respecting Krishna, we respect all of them. Krishna bhakti koilo sarva karma kutuhai. By performing devotional service to Krishna, we do everything else automatically. We don't separately need to do Indra puja or Ganesh puja or Durga puja or Shiva puja. No other puja required. That's shown by Krishna. Krishna told the Prajvasis, forget about Indra. What do you need? You don't need him. Just offer everything to Govardhan Hill. Means everything to me. So Krishna's then sarvadharman pratyajya. Forget everything else, all your other rituals and all of your other religious activities. Maam ekam sharanam. Just surrender to me. That's your religion. That's your religious, or that's your occupational duty. That's what your life is for, to surrender to me. Don't waste your time with this, that, this, that. So we respect the demigods. Shrishti, Stiti, Pralaya, Sadhana, Shakti, Reka, Chayeva, Yasya, Bhuvanani, Bhivarti, Durga, Chanu, Rupam, Api, Yasya, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamam. I worship Krishna because Durga is just acting according to his desire. She's creating, she's destroying, she's maintaining under Krishna's direction. There's a song like that by Bhaktivinoda Thakur also. That by your desire, Lord Brahma is creating, by your desire, Lord Shiva is destroying. You know that song? Song is like that. So when we surrender to Krishna, we don't have to separately give attention. Oh, well, I forgot to, I better water this leaf at least. It's Krishna.
Thank you.
that's not controversial, that's stupid. Because you don't have 100% devotion, you might as well stay with your adulterated devotion. Because you're 50% devoted, you should stay 50% devoted and keep investing in the demigods 50-50, 50% demigods, 50% Krishna. That's just a bad investment strategy. I don't have full devotion, that's my problem, so I should increase my devotion. And that means decreasing my attention to everything else. Decreasing my devotion to everything. If I'm devoted to this, 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 and I'm devoted to Krishna, no, that's the definition. I think it's mentioned that Bhishma Dev says that in Nectar Devotion. It means withdrawing our affection for other things, withdrawing our dependence on other things, and depending on Krishna, being devoted to Krishna. So Krishna says, it's not controversial in Bhagavad Gita, Mam Ekam Sharanam, just surrender to me. It's very un-Hindu because the Hindu religion is hedge your bets. Invest, you know, spread out your portfolio. Diversify your portfolio. But Krishna says, no, you should have confidence and surrender to me and I'll protect you. And he shows that here, that to deal with Indra is the business of my little finger. Or why should we not surrender?